Legal Precautions for Your Children's Ministry, is the session we're about to hear from Brother Billy Willis. Brother Willis oversees the Children's Department at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15 says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, that one word, it says blameless. And as we look at some policy procedure, I think anybody not received our policies and procedures, and we update these throughout the years and things like that when things come up. But these are policy procedures to not just protect our ministry, but also to help our volunteers understand what is expected of them, how to do a bathroom break, what if there's a mandatory reporting issue if a child says they've been abused or raped or whatever, how to deal with that, what we do to deal with that, and it's all in writing, so that therefore they won't have any questions about it. These are covered when I sit down one-on-one with a new volunteer. I go through these, I read through them, I give them a copy of it, and we'll get more into what else is expected of them. But I think every one of us would know this. We live in a different day. I remember when I was a kid, I used to be able to ride a couple miles away on my bicycle, go to the gas station, ride back. My mom never thought twice about it. Today, there's no way I'd let my son and daughter do that. I don't even let them out of my sight. I mean, it's just a different day we live in. So policy procedures are very, very important, not only just in the classroom, but also protecting your ministry. Because the devil wants to do all he can to ruin us. And, I mean, we have policy procedures for our bus ministry. We have policy procedures for our children's ministry, for our teen ministry, for our adult ministries. We have those set. And then we can go back and say, look, if it ever came up in court, we say, hey, we've got it written down, and we've given it to our workers and our volunteers. And we cover them, and we document the times that we actually cover them in, like, a kid's city meeting or a vacation Bible school meeting or a bus meeting. We keep those down, and we also keep attendance. We make them sign in, signature, and then we file those away. And then that way, if anything, God forbid, everything come up, we're protected, and we're as protected as we possibly can be. Brother Yarber's in here, and I've got a lot of counsel from him because he's been in law for how long, Brother Yarber? A long time. You know, was a warden out in one of the prisons, and now getting law degree and things like that. So we're always making sure the devil. Every church has a target on its back. You know, and if he can get us in a lawsuit or anything like that, I was picking up Dr. Gibbs from the airport about a month ago, and I was asking him, every time I was just asking him a bunch of questions to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. And he was telling me about a couple different lawsuits they were in, and the church was a lawsuit because they had one kid over capacity on the bus. And I thought this, it was written in the policy, don't go over the capacity of the bus. All right, but now they're in a lawsuit because of one. Listen, people are so happy. They really are. And it's amazing what goes on in those, but we want to make sure our volunteers understand this. Do not get the mentality of this. We only run 5 in church. We don't need policy procedures. Yes, you do. If your sign out there says church, you need policy procedures because that is God's church, and we want to do everything in our power to protect it legally. Now listen, you may stand in court one day, God forbid of that, and say, well, we're just a small church. Well, you know what? That's not going to float very far. Just being a small country church. Listen, I've been in a small country church before. I was a youth pastor there at one time. And I heard that all the time. We can do this because we're a small. No, it has nothing to do with that. This is God's church. It doesn't really matter if it's located out in the middle of the sticks or in the middle of the city. It really doesn't matter. We've got to make sure that we put some barriers up and here and be blameless. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 14. It says this, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, look what it says, be diligent. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. Are we being diligent? If we're neglecting these things, we are not diligent. All right? And this is a very important session for me. As a children's pastor, I walk around all the time. And I tell Tanya, my assistant, and I tell Mrs. Hannah, our nursery director, and I tell all our leaders, I say, look, if you walk in a nursery and see policies being broken, you call it out right then. Or if you've got to pull a worker aside, pull them aside later and explain to them, hey, look, this is going against our policy, but do it lovingly. And a lot of times it's just a mistake, they forgot, they didn't do it right, but always bringing it up to them. But legal precautions for children ministry are very, very important. You know, I don't think you've got to move very long to understand the importance of these things. One of the men in our church used to work child pornography cases. And I used to ask him questions. You know, what he deal with a lot of wacky people. You know, and a lot of times it was child pornography. I mean, just wicked things. These were people that literally, I mean, they worked in the aeronautics industry. They were engineers. I mean, there was a lot of different things. And he says, Billy, it doesn't matter how much money they make. It doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle they live. But I'm going to tell you, the wickedness comes from all different places. And we want to do our very, very best to make sure that we are doing what we possibly can to be diligent. You know what? The devil is a roaring lion, yes, seeking whom he may devour. And he will devour us, listen to this, through the children's ministry if he can. He will do it through a worker. He'll do it through some visitor. He'll do it through some person that hates God. He will do it. But listen, if we're diligent, and we've got our radar and our antennas up, and we can spot it out, and we're diligent on it, it will make all the difference. And listen, through the Holy Spirit's power as well. Number one is this. I believe with all my heart we need to have protective policies. Protective policies. And I gave you our policies and procedures, and you can look through these later or whatnot. But a policy means this: a definite course of action adopted for the sake of expediency and facility. A definite course of action. If you look in here, there's like under section 2, it says a volunteer waiting period. New members or returning members of Lancaster Baptist will wait 6 months after their date of membership to serve in the children's ministry unless approved by pastor or the leadership team. And every time, and I'll get into this a little deeper later, anytime there's maybe a new member or somebody that's returning, I'll always bring up, I'll have a list of names at leadership team meeting, and I'll sit before Pastor Chapman and say, hey, Pastor, this person is interested in driving bus, or this person is interested, and the whole leadership team is there. Because sometimes somebody may know something about that person that maybe they shouldn't be serving in that aspect or that area. You know what? There's one thing I know about this. We should always flow everything through our pastor and say, well, I know this person. I think they should serve. Well, maybe he knows something. They wouldn't even be able to support the policies at all. And he knows a little bit more. All my pastor has to do is say this: I understand. No questions asked. I don't even need to go there anymore. It's our pastor's decision. You see? And no questions asked. Listen, I may have had them over to eat. They have made it work with children for 15 years. But all my pastor has to do is do this. And I understand. I don't need to ask any more questions. All right? So that is one of the first things. Protect the policy. Letter A is under this. Individual church policies. We have individual policies in here, and I don't know exactly what page it's on. I probably could find it pretty quickly. But restroom breaks. It's on section 3. It says the following guidelines must be followed. Children of any age may not leave the classroom to go to the restroom unaccompanied by a volunteer. Now listen, you say, do your workers ever break these? Oh yeah, they do. Is that every Sunday? I hope not. Sometimes I'll catch them. A sixth grade teacher say, oh, yeah, they're sixth grade. They're soon to be seven. They can go to the bathroom by themselves. No, they can't. Can't handle themselves. They run around, and 30 minutes later, they come back to the restroom. That's the reason we put in there. Children of any age may not leave the classroom to go to the restroom unaccompanied by a volunteer. Then we put in there, children ages 2 to 5 years old should be accompanied inside the restroom, while children 6 and up should have a volunteer just outside the restroom. A lot of times when it's 2 to 5 year olds, they take them together, they stand outside, we keep the door open and making sure that they're not crawling under the stall or throwing wet napkins against the mirror or punching each other or whatever 2 to 5 year olds do, all right? But we have it in there. And but these are individual church policies. A teacher-to-child ratio, and our ratio, I believe, is set pretty well, and that's in there if you want to peruse through that sometime. But we want to make sure that we don't have just a teacher and about 40 kids in there by themselves. Because every one of us, if you've taught children any period of time, you've been there. And it's not fun. All right? So what we've done is saying, look, every week we'll take a flow chart, Tanya and I will, and we'll look at it. And we've just kind of made a habit of it. We have a flow chart of all our classes on a Sunday morning. And we'll take a blue or a pink highlighter. And we'll say, well, we need 3 workers here today. for Sunday, and we'll do this usually about Monday or Tuesday, and we need a couple workers here, and then we start making phone calls and say, hey, could you serve here? Can you teach here? Especially during the summertime because everybody's vacations and things like that. But our whole goal in mind is this, to make sure we meet one of these individual protective policies of the teacher-child ratio breakdown. That way we don't have a teacher in there by themselves because now there's no accountability at all. All right, and there's no help. And now it's become a dangerous situation. We have another individual policy about physical contact. We tell this, there is no form of physical discipline at all. We also tell this, men, children do not sit in your laps, period. Now, if they want to hug on you and stuff like that, you just kind of do whatever you can without being mean. All right? Now, we tell the ladies, listen, ladies, you can be a little bit closer to the kids than the man can. All right? Because, listen, be honest with you, and Brother Arbor, correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard this before, that a parent could walk in and see a child sitting on a man's lap, and they could pretty much take you to court for sexual abuse because of different things. And I believe Dr. Gibbs told me that. So listen, you say, why are you scared? Listen, it has nothing to do about being scared. It has everything to do about being diligent. That's what it's called, is diligent in this. You say, well, I've known this family for 15 years. Yes, so did the guy in the other town. They got sued by the family that he knew. So we got to be very careful about it. And I'm not trying to run people out of ministry and be scared to death to minister to children. Listen, I'm not scared to minister to children. But we've got to make sure we have these policies. You say, well, listen, we don't even have policies. I'd run home and get them done. I'd maybe get this Christian Law Association book. They've got policies in there. They've got some very well-documented things. Get a hold of them. Get them in print. Have some worker meetings. Very, very important. All right? And to get that down. Letter B is this, legal policies. Legal policies. One of our legal policies is our mandatory reporting. If I remember right, it's toward the end of the policies, our policies here that are written. Let's see here. Yep, it is Section 7, legal reporting policies. All right? In the state of California, I'm not for sure if it's in every state or in your state, but if you work with children, you are a mandatory reporter. That simply means this. If you are a children's worker, you are mandated by law. If a kid comes to you and says they've been sexually harassed or sexually touched or they've been beat or anything like that, if they open their mouth, we are mandated by law to contact Child Protective Services. If I do not contact Child Protective Services, I am now guilty of neglect. You say, that's not a fun thing. I know it's not. I had a mom the other week got a hold of my cell phone number after we had reported. It was a bus mom. And man, I'm talking about, she let me have, it was actually my day off and she got a hold of my cell phone number. I was walking through JCPenney with my wife and I could have held the phone out like this. She was yelling at me so bad. I can't believe that you reported me. And what happened was the deputies are not supposed to tell, the sheriff are not supposed to tell the parent who reported them. Well, this deputy thought it'd be fun to tell the mom. All right, well, the mom somehow miraculously got a hold of my phone number and called me, which is fine. You know, we want to reach the whole family, and that's the part of reaching the family. We'll deal with it, you know. And I finally got her settled down. But I'm going to tell you, I'll explain the lady this. What happened was her little child opened his mouth and said that his mom had been beating him. I don't need to call the mom and ask if it's true. I just got to do my duty and report it. I got to fill out a report, call Child Protective Services. It's in our policies. A lot of times we'll call Christian Law Association and say, hey, do we need to report this first? This was an obvious one. I didn't even need to call. Kid had bruises. The kid said his mom did it. We called. All right, we reported. It's not my fault the deputy did it. I think the kid ended up coming back on the bus. But those are legal policies. Let me ask you this, and this is not a convicting statement at all, but let me ask you this. If that happened in your church, would your volunteers know what to do? Would they know? Would they say anything? See, some weeks, some workers take it as this. I mean, everything, they come to me and say, hey, should we report it? Should we report it? I'd rather it be that way than one day finding out that we were in neglect. All right? I would rather be a little overbearing on that. All right? And even in the nursery, some kids may come in with bruising and things like that. And listen, we want to make sure we're protecting God's work here. Letter C is this, tips on policies. Here's just some tips. Written in clear terms. Written in clear terms. All right, I'll be honest with you. I don't have my law degree. Nowhere near it. Never been close to it. Now listen, Brother Yarbrough probably could read law terms because they're complete. I've read some of them and I'm lost. I've read like some law books and I have no, they're confusing. It's like they restate it. I don't know. Well, it would be very foolish for me to put in our policy and procedure all this law term because nobody would understand it. You want to make sure it's written in clear terms. Number two is this. It's understood by volunteers. It's understood by volunteers. Now, this coming Sunday night, we're having our vacation Bible school meeting. We'll probably interview between, I'd guess, 75 and 100 new people to serve that have never served in children's ministry before. All right? I'll stand up and I'll review some policies with them. And after the big meeting of a couple hundred folks, we'll break down and I'll meet with just those people that are new. All right? And I'll make sure they understand the policies of our church. And then I'll have a couple of guys that work under me or serve under me during that week. They walk around. We have security. Brother Rupert's a retired deputy. And a couple other of our deputies will walk around. They're aware of our policy procedures. And they'll walk around and make sure that all of these policies are being handled correctly and they're being followed through on. And so we want to make sure they're understood and they're constantly, letter number three is this, reminded of weekly. You've heard MBWA, managed by walking around. Managed by walking around. After you get these set and you have a meeting, and I suggest if you don't have these, get them down. Maybe shoot them over to the CLA. Let them look over them and say, hey, these are good, or maybe you need to tweak this one. And after all those things are said and done, then have a big worker meeting and take attendance. And the ones that missed, meet with them one-on-one, or maybe a group of 5 or 10 that couldn't make it. But listen, these are important things to do. Very, very, very important. And I'm not going to ask how many. I had one guy, I think about first year I taught, about 6 years ago. He says, yeah, we don't need policy procedure. We're just a country church. You know, and I said, look, man, you need them. You need them. And some of your teacher worker ratios may not work just like ours, but get it approved to ones that will work for you. Okay, that way you have them down. You have it written down for that. Number two is this, pertinent procedures. Pertinent procedures. This isn't in the notes, but there is our free databases that tell you who sexual predators are. Every week we take our visitor list and we take it upstairs to the second floor of the admin building. And one of it's either Tanya or one of our other secretaries. She'll take the whole visitor list and compare it to a sexual predator database, like Watchdog or whatnot. And we have a whole system. If a man comes to our church and he's a sexual predator, we deal with it. We tell him, do not step foot in our north building. That's where our nurseries are. If you come in our north building, you will have deputies following you. Listen, our job is here is to protect what's over there. And we're going to do everything we can. You say, Brother Wilson, you may run him off. No, we're going to love on him. You say, but he made a mistake. We're letting him have another chance. You see, that's the reason he needs to be in the worship center, not in the north building. And so we'll have a couple of deacons and maybe a deputy go by in just street clothes and just talk to him and say, hey, this is how it works. You say, have there been sexual predators come to your church? Yeah, I'll be honest with you. There's probably been sexual predators come to your church. You just had no clue. Get on there sometime, and it'll open your eyes to another world, you know. We've got to be so careful about that. But even check it out. You say, well, our church only runs 5. If you have a visitor, I'd still run it. They have no clue you run it. All you do is type your name, and then it brings it up. If they're not there, it won't bring it up. All right? But you don't want some guy. What would be the greatest place to fondle a child or molest a child? Where there's children. Where are most places that have children? In a church. All right? And these guys know that. We want to make sure that we protect. And listen, I'm not trying to be nasty or gross or anything like that. We live in a perverse, wicked day. And they will do it. And we need to do it. It's not about guns and things. It's loving people. And we pray that guy stop doing those wicked things. But some of the times, those guys never come back. Because they think, oh, yeah, that's probably what I was going to do. I don't know. I hope, for God forbid, that. But pertinent procedures. Letter A. These procedures, of course, this is kind of a rerun, but written clearly. Written clearly. These are procedures. These are the things we've got to do. Letter B is this. It fits the volunteer staffing of the church. It fits the volunteer staffing of the church. Listen, if you got a small church and you're running 10 and you say, well, we should have 5 volunteers for every 1 student. Well, that's impossible. You can't do that. All right? You got to have people in the church service. But you write that teacher ratio, teacher to student ratio, to what fits your church. All right? And it's written down there in just plain black and white. All right? Letter C is this. It's easy to follow. Easy to follow. Easy to follow. Letter D is this. It alleviates confusion by volunteers. All right, I'll be honest with you. When I hand our policy procedures to a volunteer, I think sometimes it makes them nervous. I see them. They look at it like, whoa. What I tell them is this. Take it with you. It's not a test, all right? I said, but take it with you. Maybe outline or highlight some stuff and take it to class with you. So when you got to make a bathroom run, turn right to this page and say, hey, look, okay, this is what I need to do right here. It won't bother me walking in seeing you reading the policy procedures in class. Take an extra 30 seconds to make sure you fall within policy. But if I don't have it written down and I just had to, it's all by word of mouth, now they're really lost. Now that doesn't alleviate any confusion. I just developed confusion. All right? So having those policy procedures written down. Tanya, did you bring those things up here? Those parent pager? I was going to add one more thing in here when I prepared this a couple months ago. I didn't put it in. And Tanya's, she'll have it out here on. Some of you probably saw our parent pager system. About, what is it, 6 or 7 months ago, Tanya? We met with our pastor and said, Pastor, we know the economy's bad and things like that, but we really feel like we need to take an extra step in security. That's what we told him. So, man, we went to other places. We researched. We called. We did just all of our homework. And this isn't an infomercial about parent pager because there's other software out there. But we wanted to do certain things. All right, and we thought sometimes, especially as large as our church is right now, is this. We have hundreds of children on campus, and we don't even know the parent. Like, I wouldn't know some of the parents. All right, we come in and pick up the kids. How do we know? We used to have just a little PVC card, and they would write the kid's name and the parent's name. That worked for a time, but we wanted something that had a picture on it. That way we could do it, and we knew it was going to be a big undertaking and things like that. So we bought the touch screens out here, and we got the system. We started using it and things like now. And right now we use it through the 5-year-olds. And here soon, probably September, October, we're going to bring it all the way through 6th grade. And so when a parent comes in, they scan their finger. They'll hit check in. They'll scan their finger, and they'll get an end slip. All right, this happens to be my daughter, and Tanya's picking up my daughter. And it's got who can pick up. Here's the authorized guardians to be able to pick up my children, all right? So if their picture's not on this piece of paper, they're not getting them. So then they come back and they get an out slip. And then also the child has, that's my little daughter Sadie, she has it on her chest. So we know who the kid is, how old they are, what hours they're here, and who can pick them up, just like that. And then at the nursery counter, that teacher, the worker ratio that I was talking about, Mrs. Hannah can type it in the computer, and it can tell you how many teachers, because teachers and workers also check into that system. Just like that, she knows what teachers are in there and what children are in there and what nursery. And then the pagers go through that too. We're still tweaking it. We're still working on it. Sometimes things just don't go just right. They are computers. They're not people. All right, we make mistakes too. But then also every week, Tanya will take around this list right here, and it tells who was absent, how many. July 4th through the 25th, and who's there those Sundays, and so our nursery leaders can follow up on them. So it's one big system that kind of just is nice. The one aspect I like about it is the whole security thing. If you don't have a slip, you don't get your child. That's just what it boils down to. And then we, if there's a dad that maybe has a restraining order or something like that, we can actually put that in on the in and out slip. Say, this guy cannot pick up. All right? And that's happened a couple of times. We want to make sure that the children that are being picked up are being picked up by the right people and not some strange dad out there. So that was one policy procedure that we put, in to our policy procedure was the whole parent pager thing. I think Tanya's got information in the back for it and things, and if you want to see it in work, you say, man, we're a small church, we can't afford it. Maybe all you need is one computer. You know, I guarantee this one, the software and the computer are cheaper than a lawsuit. Guarantee you that one, all right? So that's not the reason we bought it, but the security and things like that. And you say, have people felt funny about putting their fingerprint in? But the good thing is it doesn't take a picture of their fingerprint. It just does the certain points on the finger. And we can't pull them off and things like that. We also give them, I don't think I have it in my pocket now, but a little proximity card where they can just scan it. And we just wanted to make sure we're doing our very, very best to protect the children that God has allowed us to minister to. And we've had parents come back and say, man, they really are serious about that. So we're going to come back again. So number one, we saw protective policies. Number two, we saw pertinent policies. And number three is this, the placement of volunteers. The placement of volunteers. Letter A, the process. And I didn't bring the sheet in because I think it was a little more personal that I wanted to just share with everybody. But what we did, we kind of took what is it called, Tanya? A flow chart. And I couldn't remember. All right. How people enter ministry. All right. Number one, it starts with our pastor. Number one, it starts with our pastor. And then pastor allowed me to come be one of his arms and help hold his arms up in the children's ministry. All right. So I'll get a name. I'll bring it to our pastor and say, hey, pastor, Brother Mike Yarborough wants to serve in children's ministry. Is that okay? Pastor then will ask all the assistant pastors sitting at the table, is it okay if Brother Yarborough serves in children's ministry? And all the guys, oh, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. So then Tanya will set up an appointment with me, maybe after church or something like that, and I'll meet with them. And I'll go through our leadership requirements. And a couple of our leadership requirements is you can't drink alcohol. You know, you can't be seen at the movie theater. I mean, a couple things like that, because we tell them, listen, you're a leader now. We want you to be a leader. And we won't, with the King James Bible is the only Bible we use. You must be loyal to God's word, the pastor of the church. And we make them sign off on that. Then I ask them some more legal questions. I say, have you ever been registered as a sexual offender or predator? Do you understand that you're a mandatory reporter? Have you ever served a jail term? You say, well, do you have people that serve in your church that have served a jail term? Yeah. Really? Yeah. And they'll write it down. We'll ask them, hey, what did it? It could have been something 20 years ago, and they just got saved 10 years ago, you see. And so we'll ask them that. You say, has there been people that you interviewed that you wouldn't allow serving the children's? Yeah, there has been. And then we go a step farther. We started this, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. We actually do a background check through for them. And we ask them to fill it out. And we get their Social Security number, their name, their address, their previous addresses, their driver's license number. You say, well, man, I know all the people in my church. Well, listen, sometimes we think we do, don't we? And we got to be very careful now. You say, well, how much is a background check now? Like $20, $25, something like that? It may be a little bit more, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. There's no dollar figure that we could ever spend to put enough protection on what God is allowing us to do. And we've got to be careful about it. So it's a process. The process, number one, adult Bible class teacher approval. And I usually, before I even go to pastor, I'll ask the adult Bible class teacher, hey, how about John? Is he a pretty good guy? And then sometimes they may just nip it right there and say, no, I don't even need to waste pastor's time on that one. Okay? But if I ask and say, yeah, he's a good guy, then I go to pastor and bring it to the leadership team. Letter B is this. After the pastoral approval, no appointments set until pastor approves, okay? Letter B is this. Interview by the ministry staff. Interview by ministry staff. This is one of our leadership team members, Brother Christensen, Brother Furso, Brother Schmidt, or me, or some of the other leadership team will sit down one-on-one. And under this, the background check form is filled out. Number two is this. The policy procedures are explained. The leadership requirements are agreed upon. And then we ask them, hey, do you have any questions? Or are there anything we can answer? And because, listen, they may have a question about leadership requirements. Not very many people, but they've sat across the table and they say, well, if I don't meet this requirement, are you going to remove me from the classroom? And that's when I say, listen, why don't we wait a little bit before we start ministry then? Or I've had some other people say this, well, I don't think I'm ready yet. Can we wait a little while? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we want them to feel comfortable serving the Lord here in this local body. Letter C is this. After the interview by ministry staff and the approval by pastor, interview by ministry staff, then the ministry is assigned. The ministry is assigned. But I think the worst thing we could ever do is go to somebody and say, hey, I think you're interested in children's ministry. Let me see what I can do. Because now it's got their hopes up. And then when you go to pastor says, nope. Then you got to give them a reason why you didn't do it. And the reason they can't serve the church. Yeah, pastor didn't let it. Well, now they got a grievance against our pastor. And boy, we don't need that. All right. So here's some policy procedures. Say we have a procedure for interviews. We have a procedure for bathroom breaks, mandatory reporting, all these things. You say, man, this kind of just fries my brain a little bit. You know what? Sometimes it does me too. That's where I just kind of pull it out and review it a little bit. And encourage your workers to do that. And if you need help or something like that, getting those policy procedures started, or have questions about where we do background checks or where we bought the computer system or whatever, please ask us. And I'm not saying we have every question. I'm not even saying what we do is the best way, but it works well here, all right? And I'm not saying you could take this and just implement it tomorrow in your church, okay? But just get the wheels going. What else can we add to our policy procedures? Or another one, do I even have policy procedures? Do my workers know what our policy procedures are for this? Are there any questions or anything like that soon to be afternoon? Anybody have any questions at all?
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.